Jesse, I don't think we can have the quartet sing here anymore. So, do you guys know what I like? What my favorite candy is?
Candy corn.
Say that again and see what. No. For the record, it is not candy corn. So, guess what I found in my office today? Again, with a nice note that said, "From the men's quartet." More candy corn. I don't care what you call it. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry if this is your, like, you know, whatever, candy of choice. But candy corn is disgusting. It's like eating wax. It is. It's like eating wax. I don't care if you call it candy corn. Or lately, now they're trying to Christianize it to make it seem good. It's not called, what is it? Easter seeds. They're not Easter seeds either, okay? It's disgusting. So, did you guys hear about that? They actually snuck candy corn in my coffee and let it dissolve and then serve it to me. And wait till I finish it. Was it good? Yeah, no, it was really good. Huh? Had candy corn in it. All right, if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 7. Acts chapter 7 as we continue into a new chapter today. Acts chapter 7. So what I'm going to do, and of course Tech doesn't know this, so they're going to get mad again. It's okay. Is really quick, if you just go to Acts chapter 6 really quick. Acts chapter 6 verse 11. I just want to read that one verse. And I believe that then it'll make sense when we get into Acts chapter 7. So Acts chapter 6 verse 11, the Bible says this. Then they secretly instigated men who said, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." Again, "We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would meet with us today. Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I pray that you'd be with all those that are traveling today, Lord, all those that for some reason aren't here. I pray that you'd bless them. I pray that you'd use them, Lord. I pray that you would take care of any issues that they might be going through and problems, God. But, Lord, I just pray that you meet with us today. I pray, Lord, that you help us to look at your word, Lord, see it in a different light. And I pray that you would help us use it, Lord, and apply it into our lives. In your holy and in your precious name we pray. Amen. So as we look at Acts chapter 7, there's a couple of things that we're going to see. As we talked before, now we're going to see a lot of Stephen. And we're going to see exactly who Stephen was, what Stephen stood for, and why it's important. So the title of Acts chapter 7 is "Know What You Believe." Know what you believe. In Acts chapter 7, Stephen's defense, Stephen's sermon, is the longest recorded in Acts, and it's all to answer one question. When Stephen was accused of blaspheming God, the question was this: are these things so? So we have his accusation, and then we have them saying, okay, this is what you were accused of. Stephen, are these things so? And during this sermon, during this message, he never answered yes or no, and he doesn't even defend himself. But what we see is Stephen going through the Old Testament, right? He proceeded to show the Sanhedrin that his view of God was absolutely orthodox. Now remember that these were men who only knew and would accept Jewish history and Old Testament teaching. However, in relating Israel's history during that period, he mentioned things about God and the patriarchs that his hearers needed to reconsider, right? And Stephen made it very clear that there was never a time when the entire nation worshiped God. Yet there was always a believer's remnant, a small remnant of true believers, even as there are in our day. And we see the selections of Abraham in this message. We see Joseph, we see Moses, and we see the apostasy of Israel. And he uses that to present the rejection of the Messiah. So what Stephen starts doing here in Acts chapter 7 is he goes to what these people knew, right? He goes to the past, he goes to the Old Testament to try to explain to him who he is, why he's preaching Jesus, and why he stands where he stands, right? He uses that to present, again, the rejection of the Messiah. And as many have done before him, he turned all of this around onto his accusers
Because in reality, they were the ones who were disobeying God and who had rejected his appointed leaders throughout their history. Not right? So as I started thinking, and I'm like, well, Lord, okay. So this is like a sermon. This is history. So, Lord, as I present, as I preach, as I tell the people here, you guys, right, what is going on in Acts chapter 7, what do you want us to get out of it? And all of a sudden, this is what just came out. Know what you believe. Know what you believe. Guys, we need to know scripture. We need to know doctrine. We must know the what and the why. So if somebody were to ask you, okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you believe in eternal security? And we've been taught to say yes. But yes, that's what we believe. It's in our statement of faith. Okay, well, why? Okay, are you premillennial? Are you amillennial? I mean, what are you? Hold on a second. I'm one of those. I don't know which one. We need to know the why. Okay, should a Christian get baptized? Yes, no, maybe. Again, the answer is why? And on and on and on we can go. Because, guys, we are in a time in our history where people no longer follow blindly. And I'm not saying that that's a good thing, but what I'm saying is that I believe that the church has taken advantage of that. There was a time when people said, okay, well, the pastor's saying it has to be so. It's being taught in church, so I have to believe it. And it was, yes, sir, on and on we go. Where do you want me to go? Okay, let's do it. This is what you believe. Oh, okay, sure, that's exactly what I believe. And people never ask questions. Now, I'm not saying that this was acceptable in the past, but rather we are not in our grandparents' church. It has been said that one of the reasons that this current generation is not in church and that we have unchurched youth is because they ask questions and the church does not give them the answer. It's what the Bible says. It's what we've always been taught, or that's how I've always done it. Our grandparents, now hear me out, don't get upset, but our grandparents followed along and said, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Whatever you want me to believe, I'm going to believe it. I'm not going to ask questions, because if I ask questions, and I know it's 2021 and not acceptable, but back in the day, if you said, well, hold on, let me ask, you know it's true. You got to say, boy, don't you ask questions. You just listen to what I have to say. You obey. They went to church. They believed in God. They believed that the Bible was inspired. But why? Because they were told to believe that. Our parents followed along and asked some questions, but still they followed routine. They wouldn't dare ask the why or say, but mom, but dad, but why? My generation is the rebellious generation. We're the ones that started asking the why. We're the ones that needed to be convinced. Yet we were still raised in a time when a backhand or a swat was not abuse. So we asked those questions, but, you know, maybe not as loud. Barna reports that the percentage of Generation Z, the Zoomers, right, who identify as atheists is double that of prior generations. Nearly 35% identify as agnostic, atheist, or belonging to no religion, compared to 20% of those that they would call boomers and 30% of Gen X. Why? Because they have questions and Gen Z wants to make an impact. They don't know what it's like to have to wait for an answer. Listen to this. The iPhone was introduced when high school seniors were 2 years old in 2007. They have never known a world where social media, games, and information were not at their fingertips. To give you an idea, growing up, I had a computer. You know, I had an analog and a digital typewriter before that. My essays were not researched on Google. My essays were not on digital books, on what's that program you use on Logos, Jesse? That's not where my essays came from. Mine came from going to the library and, oh, I need to find said book. Right? Dewey Decimal System. There it is. Right? My essays were done at the library. But, oh, I lost my place. I also use the encyclopedia. Remember that? Do you guys have encyclopedia salesmen? You remember that? And then if you forgot to, like, cancel your subscription every year, you got the, you know, updated events of 2001.
in 1997, you know, and you're like, oh, that's what happened, right? I think my parents still have my encyclopedia set, actually. This generation, in this day and age, they want to make an impact on future generations. Now, this is not meant to be negative, but I believe that it'll help you see something. This is not meant as an attack on anybody, but I hope that it would open your eyes. We have Bible studies on Wednesdays. And what ends up happening is that I end up preaching because we don't have the questions. And it's a little bothersome because it's challenge me. Make me think. Make me wonder. Make me go to the Word. Don't just, yep, that makes sense. There's no questions. We have a church discussion, right, on whatever the issue may be. Very little questions. Very little questions. Now, I love the fact that you would follow. I love the fact that you would trust me. But I believe that we also need to ask the questions, the what, whys, and hows. Again, this is not an attack. Michaela, stand up for me. How old are you? 24. So we have little banters back and forth because I'm 38 and she's 24, and she's walking around calling me boomer and I'm walking around calling her zoomer, right? And she comes up here and she's like, what's up, fam? Come, it's going to be fire. And then I come up here like, no cap. I mean, no. Then I come up here like, let me translate. Come tonight. It's going to be a blessing. It will be a great time of singing and fellowship, a.k.a. fire, right? But have you ever noticed, and again, this is not to bring you down, Michaela, but different generations, have you noticed who has questions and who has something to say at every meeting we have? Her. And it's not just, I have a question. It's, I have a three-part question with two subcategory points underneath said question. They're laughing because it's true. And then they go, okay, so a question 1.1 of three, you know, and she just keeps going and going and asking the questions. And if we're not careful, we're just like, don't get upset. Oh my word, just shut up. Just sit down. Just follow. She's a brave one that asks the questions. So what we see, what we're going to see in Acts 7, is that Stephen was able to go back in history and give a sound and a knowledgeable explanation of his viewpoint for what he was teaching, for what he believed, why he proclaimed the gospel. And we must know the why and not just demand an action from people. We must know that. What you will see is that Stephen opened his speech with the glory of God, and he closed with the glory of God. And the whole time, if you recall in chapter 6, his face would have radiated that same glory. And they would have and should have seen that God was with him. So as we begin to look at chapter 7, and we're only going to get probably two verses in now. So that was my opening, right? To get you to think. What do you believe? And why? Because I know that we've said it before, but this Sunday morning service isn't just a booster shot. It's not meant to get you from one service to the next and just give you that joy like, oh, that was great. All right, I'm good for 7 more days. Amen. But unfortunately, that's what a lot of us do. And what happens is this, is that we expect to be spoon-fed doctrine and the Bible. And if nobody steps up to do it, well, then I guess many of us will just starve. And what I'm trying to say is this, is that studying is not just done in church. It's done at home. Because by people just coming to church expecting to just do all of their learning and growing here, it's the same thing as those who just send their kids to school and say, teach them. Teach them how to write. Teach them how to read. Teach them how to have manners. You know, I don't have time for that. And what ends up happening?
Well, they may learn a little bit, right? A little bit. They'll learn how to read. They'll learn how to write. But then, oh, I'm going to say it. But then they come back like my daughter did one day. I love you, Gabs. I love you. She came back one day and was like, so I don't think, no, I'm not, I know we eat pizza on Sundays. I'm not eating that. What do you mean you're not eating that? It has meat on it. Okay, you've never had a problem with that in the past. Well, you know, it's not sustainable. I'm
like, oh, Lord, help me not to back that. Lord, please.
She's like, this is not sustainable. There are other sustainable choices out there, like fruits and vegetables that can go on. And I'm like, fruit does not belong on a pizza.
No. No pineapples. No. That is heresy.
But they come back and they come back thinking and believing what the opposite of what we believe. Because they are challenged at school and they are taught at school and they're like, hey, there isn't a God. And here, look, this is why there isn't a God. And they give them their proof. And then we wonder why they turn out the way that they did. Not that you're like that. But then we wonder why. Because we didn't take that time. So look at verse number one here. It says, then the high priest said, are these things so? So Caiaphas was asking this question in response to the accusations that came upon him in Acts 6:11, where he said, have we heard him, or we have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and God. So obviously it's like saying, are these charges that are brought against you true? Which reminds me of when my kids tattle on each other and I have to pull them aside. Son, did you climb out the window onto the roof? Are these things so? Are these rumors that I'm hearing true? And then verse 2 continues. He said, brothers and fathers, listen. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia before he lived in Haran. We see that he didn't have to try to clear himself or defend himself. In fact, he doesn't even mention the charges. Instead of being mad and bitter, he calls them brothers and fathers, and he shows them respect. And it is this young man who we shall see at the end of this chapter that is to become the first martyr of the New Testament church. Now think about it. Whenever a question gets brought up against us, whenever people just don't follow blindly, do we automatically respect them? Do we show them that respect and say, well, brothers and sisters, is this true? No, we're like, just listen to me. I'm right and you're wrong. Just do what I say and everything's going to be fine. You know it's true. Because I do that with my kids. And, you know, I should ask them more. But in my mind, I'm like, I know what's better for you. Just listen. Well, but why?
Swear, child.
But we need to take the time to answer the why. You know, I once told Crystal this, and you're probably going to slap me for saying this to her. But I once said this to her. I said, I don't have the time to break it down for you. I know it sounds horrible. But then I think I said this to you before, too. One day we were laying in bed, and I'm like, is it raining? She's like, I think it's sprinkling. And I'm like, oh, you know, the grill makes really good steaks. And she's like, what? You just asked me if it was raining. And then you're talking to me about steaks. And how quick was that? It was pretty quick, right, Crystal? Crystal calls it like 0.5 seconds, right? And what had happened, what I told her was, I said, well, no, I heard it. I heard that it was raining. I heard a sound, and I thought that it was rain. So I asked you. When you repeated yes, my mind went to, we cooked last night. I left the grill out last night. Man, you know, if my grill gets wet, it's going to damage the grill. And then I'm like, but you know what? I said, maybe if it's open, maybe it'll wash. Maybe it'll catch in a little drain pan underneath. Maybe it's not so bad. And then that went to,
those steaks were good last night.
That's my mind. 0.5 seconds. So when I told her that before, I think it clicked. She's like, is that what you mean? And I'm like, with what? When you say you don't have time, is that what you mean? And I'm like, well, yeah, because you asked me a question, and then it's, well, you don't listen to me. And I'm like, no, I listened to you. I just, you know, came up with an answer, and I did all the scenarios in my head, and, you know, that fast. But do we not take the time to explain what we believe and why we believe it?
Because guys, do you know what the best part of growing up was, of learning, right? Especially in my Christian faith. I'll tell you this. It wasn't seminary. It wasn't. And I've said this many times before, right? Seminary did not make me smarter. Seminary gave me that piece of paper that people want you to have. That's all it gave me. But it didn't make me smarter. You know what made me smarter? I remember we were in Argentina one day, and this one gentleman that we had installed as our first deacon one day was, "Pastor, let me ask you a question. What do you believe about heaven, hell, and Hades?" "What do you mean?" And then all of a sudden, we sit down, and we're going back and forth in the Bible. "Well, there's this verse. And hold on, but there's also this verse. Hold on, you know, that's very true. But the Bible also says that this, and on the day of judgment, this." And we're going back and forth. And what do you think we were doing? Have you guys ever heard of iron sharpens iron? And where did that happen? In school? With one another. Digging into the Word. And that's what I yearn for. And that's what I want to see. And that's what we're working towards here. Right? Is to have that. What I'm really considering doing for a short period is to take a break from Acts. And I'm not sure if it'll be at the new building or a little bit after. I don't know. But I'm really praying, and pray for me. I'm praying about taking a little break and almost doing like a introduction to our doctrine. Right? Teaching why we believe what we believe and backing it up with Scripture. Because again, it's not what Adrian says. It's not what leadership says. It's what the Bible says. And you know what else the Bible says? Let's just say it. You're not supposed to stop growing. You're on a journey. And the problem is that, this is on my heart and mind, so I'm just going to say it. We come to Jesus as we are. And he accepts us as we are. But we are not to return to him the way that we came. We are to go back to him more like him because he made a difference in our lives. Do you see that? It's a journey. But again, we come down to this. Why? So I'm praying about doing that. So just pray with me that the Lord would guide and that he would lead. Verse 3 says, "And he said to him, leave your country and your relatives and come to the land which I will show you." You know, we often have to leave our land before God shows us another. And I see it as having to take that first step of faith. And here we see that God called Abraham away from his home because it was a home of idolatry. And this is something that took courage, because to leave your land, to leave your home, to leave your family, to leave that which you know, and to go and reestablish yourself somewhere else, somewhere new, especially when Abraham was 75 at the time, you almost ask yourself, but why? Why would he do that? Why would he leave everything that he's known? Why would he go for a change? Do you guys like change? Do you like change? I find myself being a creature of habit, right? I just know this is what I do and this is what I know, but change is inevitable. So we ask ourselves, why did he do that? Because God told him to. Because Abraham had faith. Look at Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out into a place which he would later receive as an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. Now, I'm not saying that God is calling you to just get up and leave what you know and to go to an unexpected location, but I'm saying that that's part of the plan. That could be a possibility of what he asked you to do. But I'm saying that God is still calling people to go. God is still calling people to serve him. But many don't have the faith that Abraham had or the determination to obey God at any cost. We ask, well, what's in it for me? Guys, be very careful when you say, "Lord, give me more faith." What do you think happens? Have you guys ever prayed for patience? Have you? What happens? Are you automatically the most patient person on earth? Are you like, "Woo, I can feel the peace of God in my life"? No, he's like, "Oh, really? Let me throw some situations there in your life that's going to cause you to practice and increase your patience," right? So what happens when you say, "Lord, I want to trust you. God, give me more faith. What do you think happens? All of a sudden, it's like a little potion, like, you now have all the faith in the world. Walk on water. No, circumstances will come into your life that will cause you to practice your faith every single day. Years ago, I broke it down this way. I know I'm going to use old terminology. I understand my generation. As you look in the mirror, right, do you just say, Lord, I want to be swole? And then poof, it happens? Is that what happens? And you're like, yeah, I love it. Look at those pretend curves. Just pretend. We did it when we were kids. Or do you get the results that you want by constantly working out those muscles? Or does it just happen overnight? And I wish it would happen overnight, but this didn't happen overnight either. No. So guess what? As we pray and we ask God for faith, situations will come up in our life where it'll cause us to work out those muscles, right? And then all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen? Time goes on, and when we have to trust him, we will, because we've worked out those faith muscles. Do you know why it was, and I'm not saying that this was easy, but why it was easier for us when we went to Argentina? Because on deputation for 3 years, we saw God provide. There were so many times where we were just driving, and I remember before we surrendered to the mission field, we bought a new car, right? And I'm thinking, oh, it's like a $650 monthly payment. We got this. Yeah. You know, I got a good job. You know, yeah, this all makes sense in my mind. And then it's like, poof, leave it and follow me. And I'm like, but I got a car payment. And I remember that I was like, Crystal, the car payment's due tomorrow, and I don't want to be late. And honey, I don't know what we're going to do, and I don't know if we have a church. The next church we go to is over here, and I don't know if they're going to give us a love offering, because sometimes we'll go to a church, and they're just like, hey, thank you for coming. We don't have any money for you, but, you know, peace, go on your way, right? And we just happened to be at a missions conference, and the pastor came out and said, hey, I'm sorry, yeah. So the payment was due the next day, and I remember that we got to the car, and I still didn't get a love offering. And I'm like, we've been here for a week. Like, I could have been at three different churches in that time, and we've been here a week. Crystal's like, did you get anything? Nope. Nope. Are you going to say anything? I'm like, nope. God will provide. Do you remember this? It was in Iowa. And as we were about to leave, pastor runs out, knocks on the window. Hey, brother, I'm so sorry. I almost forgot. I don't know you were heading out right now, because I think we left on a Saturday. And they're like, hey, here's your love offering. Any idea how much it was for? $650. And that paid my car payment. And then there were times, maybe you've heard this, there were times where we didn't know where we were going to eat. Back then, you know, McDonald's had the dollar menu. There is no dollar menu now. It's a ripoff. But if it said a dollar, it was a dollar. So for like $3, I ate, we called it a McHulk, right? It was a double cheeseburger with another double cheeseburger with a McChicken smashed in between. I don't know why you're laughing. That was good, right? Thing was massive, but it fed me, right? And then we go and be like, yeah, I need a large Coke, no ice, you know? And I'll just tell you the story, maybe because many of you have not heard it. So we were driving up to Michigan from Chicago, and I looked at Crystal, and I was like, honey, I said, we don't have money. We don't have gas to make it home. So either we turn around now, we were in Indiana, either we turn around now and go home where we have food, or we go to the missions conference, or the Sunday meeting we had in Michigan, and just to see what happens. And Crystal's always been that rock, right? Guys, that's why it's important to make sure that the younger people to marry that right person that's going to encourage you, right? Most of us have already done that. And she goes and she says, let's keep going. Let's pray. And we stopped and we prayed and we said, God, you've called us. And God, your word says that if you've called us, that you're going to provide for us. So, Lord, we're going to go forward by faith because we said, Lord, increase our faith. We're going to go forward by faith, and God, you're going to provide for us, right? And, oh, man, I'm getting encouraged right now. And I remember we got there. We got to the hotel, and I remember going into the hotel, get our kids in after driving, and we're just like, man, just lay, just go to bed. Just go to bed. I don't care if it's on the floor. Just go to bed, right? And I remember that I passed out on the bed. You know, you kind of do one of these, you just kind of fall backwards. And I fell backwards, and my phone rang. And it's the pastor calling. Now, when the pastor calls, you don't just go, yeah, how's it going? Uh-huh. No, like, you know, your persona changes. Hey, pastor, how's it going? Oh, yeah, no, we're excited. No, yeah, we're excited to be up here. No, what a blessing, right? You try to Christianize everything, right? You're like, well, what a blessing. Oh, God's been good. Yes, sir. Woo, we're just excited. No, I appreciate the opportunity, pastor. And then he says this. He says, hey, brother, let me ask you a question. He's like, you know, I know it's late, so it's not an, you know, if it's an inconvenience, I get it. It's fine. But, you know, I just figured I'd offer. But you know what? Don't worry about it. And I'm like, no, pastor, what? What's that? What's going on? It's fine. No, you, pastor, you can say anything you want. He's like, well, would you like to go get a bite to eat? And I'm like, yes, yes. Pastor, I think that would be a blessing. I would love the time of fellowship, right? Okay, brother, well, how about in 30 minutes we meet at Tim Horings down the street, right? But Pastor, that would be awesome. Hang up the phone. How do you think I was? Do you think, you know a little bit of me now. Was I like, hallelujah, God provided? Yes. Yes! Yahoo! Baby, we're going to eat. He said we can order anything I want on that stinking menu. I'm filling it up. Yes. I'm sorry. I know you're getting, I'm yelling. It works. That's how I won. Ask her. I was excited. We go to eat. Fill up this tank. Sunday morning, buffet breakfast. It's a win-win. Go to the church. Get in the car. And I made the mistake. They were an hour different. So they were Eastern time. So I think what I thought was I had like an hour to preach or whatever. Yeah, I gave my introduction, and then the pastor came up. Thank you so much for that, Brother Ferrari. What a blessing. And I'm like, I didn't preach. He's like, thank you so much for driving out here. And I'm like, that wasn't it. You know, I was trying to like tap him. You know, I'm like, I'm not done. And and we get in the car, right? Again, Crystal looks at me. She's like, so do we have money to make it home? Nope. Did he give us it? Nope. About to put it in drive. We have gas money. He gives us a check, right? Guys, it's important to take care of your missionaries. I'm just saying, if you have them here, take care of them. And then he says the words that I was waiting for. You ready? Brother, I know you got to go, and you know what? I get it. I completely do, but would you like to go get some lunch? Preacher, I think I could. He's like, if you don't have time, no, pastor, I can make time. I can make time. I just, again, it'd be a beautiful time of fellowship. Roll up the window. He left. I'm not going to do it this time. Yeah! We get food again! Okay. You've laughed. I've laughed. I've been encouraged. I hope you've been encouraged, but let me tell you what that taught me. We serve a God that provides. And we serve a God that answers prayer. And because he answered those little prayers that helped us increase our faith, whenever the opportunity came to take a big, giant step for him, we didn't question him. Because we're like, God, look at everything you've provided. So we may not like trials. And we may not like being put in a compromising situation. But that's when we get to exercise our faith and trust in him. And you know what? All those little trials that we go through will prepare us for that big step that we're going to have to take in the future. But guess where you learn about your faith? In the Word of God. and you can't take my word for it, and you can't just go and say, well, I have faith. We got to have faith. Pastor said we got to have faith. A preacher once preached a message entitled, He's Everything He Claims to Be and More. And until you get your head in that Bible and start reading and find out who he is and what his promises are for you, I can't see us growing as Christians, because we can't build off of somebody else's faith and somebody else's beliefs. It has to be yours, and it has to be real to you. Does that make sense? Stephen, as we'll see in the coming weeks, Stephen knew his faith. Stephen knew what he believed, and it wasn't because he gleaned off of somebody else, because his faith was real to him. So when he was accused, he was willing to die for his faith because it was personal. Let's stand up and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I still get confused at times, Lord, as to what directions the messages go sometimes, Lord. But Lord, I feel that we need to know and we need to increase our faith, God, but that we need to know who you are. And Lord, I know that growing up, it was so much easier to repeat and to regurgitate, God, just the things that I've heard about you, about God being love and joy and peace and gracious, God. But until we get to that point, God, that we know you and that it's real to us, I don't think it means anything. Help us to dig into your word, Lord. Help us to study your word. Help us to hide your word in our heart, God. Help us to not just live, Lord, and live a Christian life based on somebody else's faith, God. Help it to become our own. Help us to know how to share it. Help us to know what we believe and why we believe it, God, and to be able to impart that, Lord, to this next generation that's always going to ask us why. Lord, help us not to look down on them, Lord, and just kind of kick them aside and say, sit down, son. You know, you don't have a place at the table. Help us to take the time, Lord, to bring them up, Lord, and make sure that their faith, Lord, is just that, theirs. And help us, Lord, to increase in our faith, in trusting you and in knowing you. Because, Lord, challenging times will come. And we all just need to make sure that we know you. In your holy and in your precious name we pray. Amen. Gentlemen.